Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Normally, I'm not real nervous doing this, but I just noticed Bill is here, so I feel like the teacher trying to... That threw me for a curveball this morning, but I'm grateful you showed up because I forgot my paper, and he was kind enough to loan me his version. And this is the first time I'm reading in front of my wife, so now it's got really warm up here. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Bless this reading.
Very nice, Paul, very nice. God bless you for doing it. A three-year-old opened his birthday present from his grandmother. It was a water pistol. And he squealed with delight, as you can imagine, and headed for the sink to fill it with ice-cold water. His father was not so pleased. Provoked, he turned to his own mom and said, "I'm surprised at you. Don't you remember how we used to drive you crazy with water pistols?" His mother gave a very wicked smile and said, "Oh yeah, I remember." Has anyone ever heard one of your parents say, "Don't you provoke me"? Maybe it was when they had a water pistol in their hand. What are they saying? Basically, they are saying, "You're making me angry." So you may have learned early on not to provoke your parents. Actually, there's nothing in the Bible about children provoking their parents. However, it does say in the King James Version, the many you're familiar with, of Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." But that's really another sermon. And I bring up this question about parents provoking their children. Excuse me. Of course, a remarkable verse lesson from Hebrews. And again, I'm reading this right now from the King James Version. Hebrews 10:24 reads like this: "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." That's a very interesting use of the word provoke. Because provoking someone to good works, usually we think of provoking in a very negative sense. You provoke somebody, you get them angry, you get them mad, but they're ready to retaliate and hurt you or fight you or do something bad. Now, the NIV that Paul read has a different, the meaning is a little clearer. It reads like this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Here's the first thing we need to see in this passage. The Church of Jesus Christ is intended to be a community that encourages one another and spurs one another on to good works and good deeds and loving one another within the body of Christ, and then taking that out of the walls of the church and doing the same to others with acts of love and acts of kindness. Not just talking about it, but doing it. Is it all right this morning if I tell you a really bad joke? I'm not really asking you permission because I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just kind of warning you. I usually don't tell jokes about bars, but I couldn't pass this one up. A guy goes into a bar. He's sitting at the stool enjoying his drink when he hears a voice say, "You look great." He looks around and there's nobody near him. He hears the voice again, "No, really, you look terrific." The guy looks around again, nobody. Hears the voice again, "Is that a new shirt or something that you're wearing? Because you are absolutely glowing. You look terrific." Then he realizes that the voice is coming from a bowl of nuts. He looks at a bartender and says, "Hey, what's with these nuts?" And the bartender says, "Oh, they're complimentary nuts." Told you. I warned you. Bad's bad, but it's still cute. Don't you enjoy being around someone that is complimentary? It's more fun to have someone compliment you than it is to put you down. "Oh, that's a nice haircut," instead of walking, "Oh, what did they do to your hair today?" Which would you rather hear? You'd rather be around someone that lifts you up instead of someone that is always tearing you down. I know personally I would. Maybe you're different. Someone who encourages you. Someone who gives you praise. What is it likely to do for you? Doesn't it make you more apt to encourage even someone else? Builds up your self-esteem. If your self-esteem is built up, then you're able to give someone else kind words and help build up their self-esteem. That's how it should work. There's a commercial on television that I'm pretty sure you've seen. A man walking on the sidewalk sees a small child in a stroller drop a doll. The man picks up the doll and returns it to the child, and the child's mom notices this gesture and smiles at the man. Later, she is walking out of a donut shop and she sees a man who's reading a newspaper. She notices the cup of coffee that is right on the edge of the table, and she walks over and she pushes the cup of coffee over. Through the shop window, a man notices what she has just done. Later, that man comes upon another man who has slipped and fallen down on a rainy sidewalk, and he walks over to the man and says, "Sir, are you okay? Are you all right?" He says, "Yes, thank you." And a third man notices. Later, this third man is in the elevator, and the doors are closing. He sees a woman hustling towards the elevator, and he pushes open door. She gets on the elevator and smiles, and another man in the elevator notices what he's doing. Later, this man is coming out of a grocery store, and he sees a pickup truck with the topper on the back, and he cannot see behind him, and there's a motorcycle behind him. And this man runs up, and he knocks on the truck and says, "Sir, you're about to run over a motorcycle." So this woman walks by and notices. You get the point. You get the idea. One good deed leads to another. It's a commercial for an insurance company, but in 60 seconds they get a message across. It dramatizes the fact that kindness is contagious. Kindness, I believe, is contagious, and you never know what kind of effect an individual act of kindness will have on someone that you come in contact with. You never know. You could change their day. You could change their whole life. Columnist Leo Eggman in the Atlanta Constitution once told about a family of eight that had a nice plot with a vegetable garden bordered by lilac bushes. A tenant in the back of the house was populated by people who would throw their trash, their old shoes, their socks, everything right into this garden. And the young boys, or the boys in the house that the garden was being assaulted wanted to go over and tell them off, confront them with anger and words and hostility. The mother, though, had another idea. A woman who was an immigrant who had never gone beyond grammar school in the old country, had never heard of anything called psychology, told the boys to go out and pick some lilacs from the bushes, and then she directed them to give each one of the family members a dozen in a bouquet. Went up to the house and said, "Our mother thought that you would enjoy these." Somehow, a miracle happened. No more trash was thrown into the garden. You never know where a simple act of kindness will lead. Author and motivational speaker Mark Sanborn tells about a shy and self-conscious 15-year-old named Troy. He spent 3 years sitting on the bench of his high school basketball team. He was evidently not going to play. He was thinking about going out for baseball, but his coach discouraged him, telling him outright, "You just won't make the team." Tony was cut from seven different sports teams, and his dreams of becoming any kind of an athlete seemed doomed. One morning, a doorbell rang, and Tony answered the door, and a 50-something-year-old man named Frank stood there. He said, "Tony, I'm getting ready to go for a jog, for a run. You want to go with me?" And this was in 1972, before jogging became a phenomenon in our country. And he said he didn't particularly want to go, but for some reason he said yes, and he went with the man. They went down to the track, and he ran his laps. He ran eight. Did it in 8 minutes. And Frank said, "You know, I believe one day you could break the 4-minute mile." The next Monday at school, Mr. Coughlin, the track coach, pulled Tony aside. Just so happened. He said, "Why don't you try going out for track? Maybe that'll be your thing." So he did. First track meet he ran in, dead last. But he kept it up, and he became one of the premier endurance runners over a 33-year career in America. Since turning 40, he's won 17 triathlons, plus 5 nationals and 2 world masters championships. He's become a motivational speaker and a creator and director of Miracle Kids Triathlon, a major fundraiser for kids with cancer. He says, "I've often thought of how different my life would have turned out if Frank had have jogged by my house instead of stopping and asked me to go for a jog with him. But on that day, he felt a strong impulse to reach out to me. As often the case, the simple gesture done at just the right moment can be a life-changing event. It was for me that day," he says. "For those 4 laps gave a troubled teen's life a completely different direction. Now it's changing other people's lives. You never know where an act of kindness might lead for you and for others, and how it might expand out." Jewish physician Boris Kornfield was in prison in Siberia, where he worked in surgery on staff and prisoners. During those times, he met a Christian whose name is unknown, but whose quiet faith and frequent reciting of the Lord's Prayer had an impact on Dr. Kornfield. One day, while repairing a slashed artery on a guard, Dr. Kornfield seriously considered suturing the artery in such a way that the guard would die slowly of internal bleeding. But this act of violence that he recognized in his own heart just horrified him. And he started reciting the Lord's Prayer that he had heard this other man reciting. And a little different from ours, but his was, "Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Afterwards, he refused to obey various inhumane acts, immoral prison camp rules, and he knew this put his life in danger. And one afternoon, he examined a patient who had undergone an operation to remove cancer. And he saw in this man's eyes, looked deep into his eyes, we could say the window of his soul. He saw a depth of spiritual misery, and he was moved with compassion on this man. He told his patient the entire story, including his new secret, and it had to be a secret, his faith in Jesus Christ. That very night, Dr. Kornfeld was murdered as he slept. But his testimony was not in vain. The patient who heard his confession became a Christian as a result, and he survived the prison camps and went on to tell the world about the Soviet prison camps. That patient was Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who became one of the leading Russian writers of the 20th century, and he revealed the horrors of the Russian prison camps and perils of Russian communism. You never know when an act of kindness, a word of witness to someone about the love revealed in Christ might lead. That is why the writer of Hebrews tells us to provoke or to spur one another on to love and acts and good deeds, encouraging one another. The great writer C.S. Lewis said that you can never tell what another person may become in their life, more like an angel or more like a monster. So we need in all things to encourage one another, to help set them on the right path, direct them, lift them up, bring out the best in everyone that we meet. And he's saying what Hebrews is trying to say. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. A great Jewish rabbi named Abraham Herschel once wrote, "When I was younger, I used to admire intelligent people." And he's a great intellect. He said, "Now that I am older, I admire kind people." It's because he knows that kindness is contagious, and kind people want to build a better world, not just for themselves, but for others. And of course, Christ set the example of love and kindness for us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." In 1990 in San Diego, a conversation took place between Mother Teresa and Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker you've probably all seen on television and infomercials at one time or another, whether you listened to him or just saw him. He's about 6'7". Mother Teresa, about 4'2", quite a contrast. Robbins and Mother Teresa asked her, said, "How did you manage to become so successful and famous?" She just looked up at him and said, "Jesus." Tony Robbins said, "No, I mean, how is it that you run such a huge religious institution, serve the most desperate people in the world, travel constantly, and yet touch so many people?" And she looked up at him again with a great big smile and said, "Jesus." "No, I'm asking, how do you do it? How do you carry on with the difficult, extraordinary life? How do you speak to millions? How do you win respect of the world? How do you manage to become one of the greatest people in the world, even in the history of the world?" Mother Teresa looked up at him again with a great big smile and said, "Jesus." Jesus. One reporter that observed this said that Tony Robbins was totally mystified. He just didn't get it. Had no idea what she was talking about. And I ask you this morning, do you know what she was talking about? If you understand, then Christ has touched your life in some way. And the way Christ has touched your life is through someone else that has been touched by Christ. That's how it spreads. That's how it expands. That is why we are to provoke or spur someone on to love and good deeds and acts of kindness. And someday the whole world will know Jesus and His love. I believe that kindness is contagious. So what I want you to do today is go out and infect someone with kindness. God bless you. Amen. Go out and commit a random act of kindness. Freak somebody out. Be nice.